In this episode of AA Dale Reads, we sat down with Sarah Dessen. Sarah Dessen is the number one New York Times bestselling author of over a dozen novels for teens, which have received numerous awards and rave reviews. Her books have been published in over 30 countries and have sold millions of copies worldwide. She currently lives in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, with her family. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
what an honor it is to be talking with you today. I can't even describe how excited I am. Before we get into our questions that are focused on your own personal reading life, I wanted to talk to you really quick about your newest book, The Rest of the Story. For those listeners who haven't read your book, could you give us a no-spoilers summary, please?
No-spoilers summary. Okay, so the book is about a girl named Emma who has grown up with her dad as a single parent since her mom passed away of an opioid overdose several years earlier. She never really knew her mom that well. And as the story begins, she has to go stay with her mother's family down at the lake for a couple of weeks, and it's like walking into a strange world. But everybody there remembers her, even if she doesn't remember them. So it's kind of about discovering your family and how you can do that at any point in your life, not just at the beginning.
Wonderful. So this book did just come out.
Yes.
So I have to admit, I haven't read it yet.
That is okay.
But I'm on the waiting list.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's so long.
Oh, my God. I think, well, you know, let me see what I can do.
No.
I know we're at a library, but I might be able to pull a string or two and get you a book sooner.
And where did you find the inspiration for this book?
Well, it came from a lot of places, but we recently started going to White Lake, North Carolina for vacation in the beginning of June with some friends of ours. And they had family, and they went down every year, and it's like this whole – I've done the beach town, you know, with Colby, and I've done the university town, which it's nice that we're here in Ann Arbor because Ann Arbor is so much like Chapel Hill. I feel right at home right now.
Yeah.
So I've done the university town, but I was curious about trying something different, and I loved the idea of – a lake and another place where you could set something in the summer. But I just loved White Lake. And we stayed at a place just like the hotel here, the Calvenders Motel. You know, the cinder block with a fly swatter and an ashtray waiting for you. Everything is sort of frozen in time in some ways. And it's just great. I knew I would write about it from the minute we were there.
Great. And before we go any further, I usually like to ask my interviewees what their relationship with reading is.
Oh, boy.
So, for example, I'll give mine first.
Yes, please.
My right now, reading and I probably have what I consider to be like an adult friendship, not in the like X-rated sense.
Right. Friends with benefits.
But in the sense of, you know, life is busy and you keep trying to get together, but then you keep not. But then when you do, it's like nice and warm and you're there for hours and inviting and you leave feeling rejuvenated. But then you go back to your busy life.
Right.
So that's where I'm at with reading right now. What would you say you are at with reading?
Well, I would say at this very moment, often I'm in like sort of the working mom place with reading. Like but I do make time to read. I read every day. I try to read in the afternoons before I work. Have sort of like if I can't, sometimes I'll just grab like a disco nap, as we used to call it in the 70s. You know, like literally 15 minutes will totally make my writing day better if I can just do that. But if I can't, I read. And it just sort of takes me out of my head for a little while. So, you know, that was what I was doing. But I'm on tour right now, and I'm away from my family, so I'm reading a lot. And I've also been dealing with a lot lately, which I just think is life, you know.
Yeah.
So reading has become sort of a source of comfort for me again. And I don't see that I'll be able to keep this up once I'm home with my daughter and everything. But I've kind of found books to be, you know, tour is weird because you're either on talking to a lot of people or you're pretty much alone.
Yeah.
And books are very comforting. So I'm reading a lot right now, actually.
Great.
I know.
I'm about to ask you a lot of reading questions.
Okay. I hope I'm ready.
So I understand if you have to get out your, like, Goodreads account or whatever.
I know.
Just remember what you've read. Our first question is, what is your current favorite YA novel?
Oh, my current favorite YA
Your own doesn't count.
My own doesn't count. Gosh, that's not very fair. The Poet X by Elizabeth Acevedo. And I liked it so much that I am now – I've actually listened to both of these books on audio, but I'm listening to her new one, which I think is called With the Fire on High. Mm-hmm. The first book is written in verse – So if you have an audiobook credit and you want to use it and you need something that is literally going to blow your mind, it is so, so good. She's a poet. She's a YA writer. She narrates audiobooks for other people. She's such a good narrator. I mean, you can't go wrong with this.
Yeah.
So I started listening to her new one today, and it's just as good. And it's not in verse. So I think there's one for everybody now, because there's some people that don't like the verse as much. But this is an incredible book. So it's the YA I'm recommending to everybody right now.
Perfect. Did you enjoy reading growing up? And what's the first book you remember reading?
Well, I loved to read growing up. We went to the library every Saturday. You know, my mom, I know it was that.
You are speaking right.
I know, exactly. And we had like the NPR tote bag, you know, that we'd fill with the books, and I could go downstairs and get as many as I could carry. We did that. And we went to the bookstores and, you know, so I read a lot growing up. And, you know, I think the first – I mean, I was reading from a very young age because I didn't have a choice with my parents. But the book I remember having the strongest reaction to at a young age was Rebecca. And again, no spoilers. Daphne du Maurier, this is a very old book. I mean, if you're going to spoil anything, you should be able to spoil this book.
Right.
But I'm not going to. And nobody did for me. And so I remember my mom gave it to me, and I was reading it, and I was reading it, and I was reading it. And then I got to the end, and there's this spectacular twist. And I remember running out of my room and being like, oh, my God. And my mom was out in the hallway and she was like, I know. And it was like this big moment. So I always think of that because I thought, wow, I did not see that coming. You know, it's really like a doozy.
Yeah.
And so that's a really strong memory for me.
Yeah. Wonderful. What is the best book you've ever received as a gift?
Wow. You know, I have to say, my father-in-law, many, many summers ago, before I was published even, I think, gave me The Prince of Tides in paperback because he was on a big Pat Conroy fix. My father-in-law is a southern man, born in Durham, North Carolina. He's got dementia now, so he's in a facility, but this was many years ago. And he very much related to Conroy. He was the kind of reluctant reader that he read a lot of Tom Clancy, and he read a lot of like those kind of books, war books, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But there was something about Pat Conroy that really resonated with him. And so it was something that he and I bonded over because we didn't really agree on politics or anything. So I had this whole summer of Pat Conroy. He started it by giving me The Prince of Tides. I think the movie was coming out at that time. And then I read all of it. And I just always think of that with him because it was – it's that example of, you know, someone very specifically relating to something very specific in a book.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of movies, word on the street is
that reminds me of The Real Housewives.
You just got a Netflix deal.
I did.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Which begs the question, what book are you dying to see adapted into a movie?
Oh, God, any of them. I mean, I'd be thrilled. I really am excited because this deal with Netflix includes This Lullaby, though, which was the one I always thought was the most ready to be a movie in terms of all of my books were kind of hard to break down to sort of the elevator pitch like they do in L.A., you know, where girl falls in love with vampire, you know, girl saves world or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And boy goes to wizard school, you know.
Right.
And mine are always like, oh, it's this girl, and then this happens, and this happens. And, you know, go on for 20 minutes, and nobody cares anymore. So, you know, I didn't think – and we had a movie, you know, my agent and I, because it's been like us against the world, you know, back in 2003. But I would love to see This Lullaby because I just think that's the one – it's not that I love any of my books more than the other because I always get asked – I guarantee you I'll probably get asked that tonight. You know, like which is your favorite of the books you've written?
Yeah,
and
which
I
is
always
your favorite
say
child
I can't pick a favorite. I only have one child, so she's always the favorite. But I have two dogs and I have two guinea pigs and I would never pick one or the other, you know, over. So, you know, but I do think it would be fun. Any of them, though. I mean, it's really exciting, and I am so superstitious about everything. I'm afraid if I talk about it too much, it won't happen.
Well, but can just like
– I know. I knock wood, the salt.
Sorry about
shoulder.
The microphone vibrations.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry. The audio.
We had
Sorry,
to.
Tyler.
Wonderful. Is there a character in a book that you would like to sucker punch in the face?
Oh,
this isn't one of your own books.
Oh,
just
good.
Just any book.
I was like, there's probably somebody in my book now that I think about it. Not this book, though. Sucker punch in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, there's Malfoy. There's always Draco Malfoy. It's like he is just the evil. He's like the bad guy
he's
in every
a douche,
80s
but he's
teen
a dreamboat
movie.
And it's conflicting.
I know. It is. And he's especially now, you know, I came to Harry Potter a little bit late because I read it with my daughter. I read the first few myself, but then really got into it when I was reading it with her. So I think, you know, I tend to go for the pure villain as, you know, but like in my own books, I feel like I have this character, Roger Sambisco, who initially turned up, he showed up in Dreamland. He was an abusive boyfriend. And then he was, you know, somebody's deadbeat roommate, you know, that was selling drugs at some point. Then he was in prison with somebody's brother, you know. So he's kind of just, you know, gotten worse and worse. So I don't really have to sucker punch my own characters, at least, because I can do things to them that are worse.
You know? Your revenge comes later.
Exactly. I can keep a grudge, let me tell you.
Forgive, never forget.
Forgive, never forget. Or don't even forgive. Just never forget.
All right. What was the last truly great book you read?
Oh, wow. Okay. I have to think about this for a second. I've been reading a lot of really good books lately. I would have to say Educated, Tara Westover, for nonfiction.
Mm-hmm.
I would say for fiction, and I don't. Like, I still have to process this book. I think it was so good it was almost too hard for me in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
But Sing, Unburied, Sing by Jesmyn Ward.
It's on my nightstand.
Yeah.
I haven't read it yet.
That, I was an English major, and that's a tough book. Like, I wish I had a professor to walk me through that book. I feel like it's going to take me a while to – but the writing in it is like, yowza. You know? And that's the way I felt about Uneducated, too. I just felt like – there's something very raw and very true. So those are the two for me right now.
Wonderful. And as much as I don't want this to end, I have my last question for you. What do you plan to read next?
What do I plan? Well, I just start. Can I say what I started today?
Yes.
Okay. So
yes.
I love Jennifer Weiner. Mm-hmm. And I actually used to review books for the Raleigh News and Observer a million years ago. And I got a lot of the sort of contemporary women's fiction. And so I got Jennifer Weiner's first book as like an advanced reader's copy, Good in Bed, a million years ago. It wasn't a million. But before her daughter was born, before my daughter was born, like everything. And I just love her. So her new book is called Mrs. Everything. It came out today. I started it on the plane. I'm already like 40 pages in. And it's just classic Jen. It's two sisters, very different, little play on Little Women, but not totally, just by the names. But it's one of those books you're just going to zoom through, you know, and love. And then if you haven't, you can have, like I had my Pat Conroy summer, you can have your Jennifer Weiner summer, and I envy you because I would love to have that. Like, she's got so much in her backlist that is amazing. So if you like this one, you can just dive in, and she'll take you all the way to Labor Day.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today. You have been a true delight.
Oh, this is really fun. Thank you for having me.
Of course.
We asked some readers to call in and tell us about their favorite books. Listen on for some of their responses.
Hi, my name is Cecilia, and the scariest book I've ever read is The Red Snake by Hideshi Hino.
Hi, I'm Sarah, and the scariest book I've ever read is When Will There Be Good News by Kate Atkinson. The book opens with a shocking crime, and the circumstances have terrified me ever since. It's a great book.
Hi, my name is Valerie. I'm not really a fan of scary books, but I did read Grady Hendrix's Horror Store, and that's got a couple of umlauts in there. It's a horror story that takes place in an IKEA at night. Terrible, terrible things come out of the Swedish named furniture, and some of the store associates get locked in the store with the terrible creatures, and it really frightened me. I'm not really a horror fan, and also I really love IKEA, so now I can't go to IKEA without thinking of that book, and it's not good.
For more AADL podcasts, visit aadl.org/podcasts. Thanks for listening.